Welcome back, new talkers, to the Bob Davis Podcast. This is the first night that I've been able to sit out here on the deck and do a podcast comfortably without getting really, really cold. So it's really cool. It's a beautiful spring night in the upper Midwest. It's still cool. We had a beautiful day, sunshine. It was great. This is the day that the Republican House finally passed some kind of quote-unquote Obamacare repeal and replace. So in podcast 627, I want to talk about government power, and I want to talk about just sort of my raw take on this. And I guess I'm going to call this podcast, When a Repeal Isn't Really a Repeal. Now, as long as we're talking about government, let's talk about xgovernmentcars.com, Minnesota's only dealer specializing in one owner, professionally maintained government fleet cars, trucks, and SUVs. They have a great line on DHS Expeditions and Yukons, Border Patrol Yukons and Expeditions, plus Crown Vicks while they last, the Ford Police sedans, the Ford Police SUVs, and of course, the incomparable Dodge Chargers, which you guys are seeing around all over the place, and the Chevy Impala V8s, which are pretty awesome as well. So why get an ex-government car? I've had four of them, if you include Mobile Podcast Command, which is a 17-year-old, you know, diesel ambulance, which runs great. The reason is they're dependable. They are fleet maintained. Ed gets them all ready for you and turns them around. And the best thing about ex-government cars is if you need a car and you need a loan, if you have a job, you can get approved. Ed Johnson is taking trades. He's making deals all the time. They're paying the highest values without all the bull, and they have the 3-day love it guarantee exclusively at X Government Cars. So here's what you do: get that butt down to X Government Cars in Golden Valley at 2420 Nevada Avenue North. Check out the selection. You really want to take a look at some of these Expeditions and Yukons, especially the lower mileage ones, because those, you know, well, I've had three Crown Vicks, and they've had various levels of mileage on them, and they last a long time. And I'll tell you, there's nothing better than having a car that's paid for, that runs great, instead of going out and spending $80,000, $90,000 on a brand new SUV or $40,000 on a brand new SUV. They're open again in Golden Valley at 2420 Nevada Avenue North, 763-777-8782. I do have the bullhorn. Here we go.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Well, you're going to be hearing about it. There are all kinds of trade protection ideas coming out of the White House. And, you know, if you're in business, you have to deal with that, regardless of whether you agree or disagree with it. There's a lot of talk about foreign manufacturing with President Trump and how he feels about it and what he intends to do about it. Some companies are dealing with that by preparing to bring some of their manufacturing back to the United States. Now, you guys know if you're in business and you're manufacturing, there are some good reasons to manufacture in the United States. If you feel that your company is going to be starting to think about bringing some manufacturing back to the United States, we're going to call it reshoring. Remember DepoStar, D-E-P-O-T, DepoStar, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing. Visit their website at DepoStar.com and you'll learn all about DepoStar. Well, I'm going to do something in this podcast that I don't like to do, and that is to talk about a major issue without doing a lot of prep. And move, quote unquote, moving the story forward with more facts. I feel like with the Republican passing of the repeal and replace bill today in the House, it still has to go to the Senate, but in the House, there's so much hyperbole and so much being said and written, and so many people saying things about what's in the bill and how it works and everything else, that I think I'll just leave that to people that are more knowledgeable than I am about the health insurance industry. And really, this is an issue of health insurance. It isn't a question of health care. It is often discussed as health care, but it is health insurance. And the reason I'm doing this is I kind of want my feelings, my raw feelings about this, to be heard. And as I said, I think there's plenty of people that are going to be telling you all kinds of facts about what this is and what it means and spinning it in one direction or another. I have kind of an angle that I think is actually pretty key that I'm going to talk about. But I don't have any notes. I'm out on the deck. It's a beautiful spring night. It's warm out here. I don't intend to make this a very long podcast. for a couple of reasons. One, so I've taken a little hiatus this first few days of May, mainly to take care of some business stuff and get ready for heading out in Mobile Podcast Command, which I will tell you about when I go. But I've had a great few days, but the other thing is that I've been doing is we are doing at the yoga studio, we are doing a challenge. We do these every, they do them every seasonal change usually. And the challenge is 20 classes in 30 days. And of course, being someone who's an extremist, I've decided that I want to finish my 20 classes in 10 days. So I am double dipping like a madman when it comes to yoga. So I've been, usually I do six classes in 5 days. I think that's what I do. No, I do 7 and 6, and then I take a day off. So it's one a day, and then I double dip one day. So I do 2 classes in one day. Well, this week I did 9 and 7. So, you know, I'm a little bit beat up and a little tired because I just came from the final double dip, which is really demanding. And I love it. I just love it. And so that is what I've been doing the last couple of days, is taking care of business and doing yoga. That's what I've been doing. And it's been great. And no, this isn't an ad for Hydrus, by the way. But yes, I have been using Hydrus in my yoga practice, and it's been great. But anyway, so I'm beat up. You get beat up after you do that. So if you're double dipping a lot, if you're doing a lot of classes, most people do 2 or 3 a week. I'm doing 1 a day, sometimes 2 a day. This week it was 2 a day, pretty much every day. And you know, you feel like you feel like you've been in a football game or something. My hands hurt, my back hurts a little bit, my feet hurt, but I feel great. And I thought, boy, I've got to get out a podcast for the weekend, and there's really nothing else to talk about but this, because this is the elephant in the room. So what I want to do is take an angle of this. I want to take an approach to this topic that really, it doesn't require a lot of prep, because I've been talking about a lot of this stuff. So the angle I'm going to take is that what they've done is they've now made the Republicans responsible for what we could call Obamacare, but what we won't call Obamacare anymore. We will call it the American Health Care Act now, which is what they're calling it. And there are some changes. I've read a few of the articles about what the changes are. I'm not going to go into depth on those changes. You guys, I'm sure if people are watching the news or if they're reading the newspapers, there's going to be plenty of coverage of what it does and how it works. It's certainly going to have some problems in the Senate, because my understanding is virtually the entire health care insurance industry opposes this bill. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they can do with it. But it is a victory for Donald Trump, and it's a victory for the Republicans, because they managed to get something done of consequence. This was a week in which the spending bill was passed, and very few of the things that Republicans wanted in the spending bill were included, up to except for the wall. That was the main thing that was not included, but it continued to fund Planned Parenthood. Another trillion-plus spending plan, and it's a stopgap. Obviously, I hate to call these stopgaps, but my understanding is it's a continuing resolution, at least until 6 months or something, so it's really not the budget, which is another argument and problem anyway. I don't know how long we're going to continue to run the government on CRMs instead of actually budgeting and having the budget argument. But between that and what appears to have been a compromise on repealing Obamacare, meaning this is what people who were out, and I covered Republicans exclusively in the 2016 campaign. I saw all the presidential candidates, and to a man and woman, they all said that they were interested in repealing Obamacare. There was no qualification. There was no plan to repeal and replace. There was no discussion of we're going to fund with an $8 billion, which, by the way, will grow, I'm sure, over the years. We're going to fund the pre-existing conditions with $8 billion from the federal government. So now the pool is being funded by the federal government. And this whole thing is so complicated. You know, Obamacare itself was so complicated, people's eyes just glazed over. This is complicated, probably a little less complicated to a degree, but it's very hard to understand if you aren't steeped in this stuff. What all the chants and the shouting and the recriminations from Democrats and so forth are all about if you don't understand the complexities of this. And I don't envy the congressman because the Republicans are split in lots of different pieces, and I can just hear people who are moderate saying, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. But this is not what Republicans voted for. Republicans wanted to see Obamacare repealed completely. And I think I'll make a qualification, and I think I said at one point, not only should the federal government repeal Obamacare completely, but they need to make sure that it's permanent. And they have done the exact opposite. What they've done is create their own bill, so now they are responsible for the follies of whatever this thing is, whatever you want to call this, national health insurance or whatever it is. And, you know, I was reading Twyla Braze's newsletter that came out a few days ago, and she said very succinctly that what we want is we want a bill that gives people tax credits, that the, you know, the same tax credits companies get for giving, quote unquote, giving you health insurance. So we want a tax credit for the cost of health insurance the same way companies get tax credits for providing health insurance, or at least making it available for their employees to get. And usually at a reduced rate because of the tax credit, right? We want it to be portable so that people can buy and move across state lines with their policies. And we want it to be simple with kind of a menu of choices so that you can, you know, you can choose when you're 28 years old to get one kind of health care insurance and when you're 68 years old, another kind of health insurance. Well, we don't have that. Now, whatever we have may be fine. I mean, it may be an improvement over Obamacare, but it is still doing the one thing that we shouldn't be doing if quote unquote conservatives are in charge, which, as you know, if you've been listening to me, I think that's one of the biggest problems that we have in society is we've mislabeled what these people are because they're hardly conservatives. Because if they were really conservatives, they would have repealed Obamacare and made it permanent in the sense that nothing like that can ever be done again. These entitlements, whether it's Obamacare, Medicaid, Social Security, or Medicare, are costing the American people a fortune. They are, you know, if you're in business for yourself, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you know how much it costs to pay for your payroll taxes as well as the company side of payroll taxes. And when you actually see what companies have to pay for this, it's no wonder there's not that much capital around. And it's no wonder companies aren't making that much money. And I'm not talking about Apple Computer. I'm talking about middle class sized companies. I'm talking about small and medium sized companies that are struggling because of these costs. And it isn't just Obamacare. If you really are someone who believes in free markets, we need to repeal all of these things. We need to privatize, and we need a sunset date for all of these different government entitlements, because they're going to cost the federal government a fortune. My understanding is they had to do this because without doing this, they will not be able to do tax reform. So that's another piece of this. But I think where I want to go with this is this question of what we expect the government to do. This is coming up again and again and again. I said this, I remember saying this on the radio years and years ago. What do you want the government to do? You need to think about what you want the government to do. and then go from there. What your vision or idea of what you think government is supposed to be is key in all this, because that's the root of the disagreement you would think that people are having. But the Republicans keep doing things that basically continue what I consider to be control of the means of production, whether it's healthcare, you know, steel tariffs, all these things that, they get involved with. And somebody asked me today, well, why did they do that? And I said, because when you ask the government to do something, when you ask a government to fix something, they're not going to fix it. They're not going to come out and say, here's the fix, we're getting rid of it, or here's the fix, this is what we're going to do. They're going to compromise out and employ themselves for the next 40 years. I guarantee you, they have, okay, so the Republicans have repealed Obamacare. Eventually, there will be a Democrat majority in the House and Senate, and there will be a Democrat president, okay? It's inevitable, sooner or later. It may not be for 10 years, but it might be next term. It's hard to tell. We'll just have to wait and see. But eventually, there will be a Democrat majority. There will be a Democrat president. And because this still exists, because it hasn't been cut out like a cancer, they will either strengthen the provisions in the whatever it is, American Health Care Act, or they'll replace it with their own American Health Care Act, which will be an entitlement. They didn't do what they were sent there to do. So I still say, I said they would never repeal Obamacare, and they haven't. They've simply replaced it with their own version of Obamacare. So now you can call it Republicare. You can call it Trumpcare. And eventually somebody will come along and they'll say, we don't like this, and they'll get rid of it, because what the Republicans have done by not repealing this completely is they have set the they've set a mandate, they've set a tone, they've set, you know, a precedent for keeping this bill, the keeping this type of entitlement and growing entitlements. Thus, there is no reason why after this, if the Republicans, what have the Democrats learned from this? Well, they've learned if we pass an entitlement, they won't be able to get rid of it. So all we have to do is just wait until the next time we're in, strengthen it further and add entitlements. And this is why we end up. So now, let me tell you, if you're 30 years old, you are going to listen to healthcare debates, which I hate even the term. It's debating what we're going to do with health insurance. It has nothing to do with healthcare other than people paying for it. But in any case, and largely the federal government paying for it. But in any case, if you're 30 years old, you're going to be hearing this every election cycle for the next 30 years. You're going to be hearing how we're going to fix whatever version of, you know, the Affordable Health Care Act, the American Health Care Act, the Boop-de-Boo Health Care Act that was passed by President Boop-de-Boo in, you know, 2017, 2019, whatever, 2027 or whatever the year that they pass it. You're going to be hearing this over and over and over again, just as we have been hearing about Social Security. And eventually, here's what they're going to do. Eventually, they're going to tax you. They're going to raise the payroll tax, and they're going to raise the taxes to corporations, and you're going to have to pay forward, and you're going to get some form of national health insurance, which will probably be abysmal, because that's how it works. So this is what they failed to do. They failed to get rid of it when they had the chance. So they had it in their sights, and they didn't get rid of it. Now, I could sit here and blame a lot of people and say that it was terrible and everything else, but I think a simple repeal might have been a little bit different than what we got. In other words, I think a simple repeal might have been easier, although, as I say that, I have to say probably not, because there's too many moderate congressmen who are too afraid to go back to their constituents and tell them that they got rid of this entitlement called Obamacare. Yes, like a leaky pipe, millions and millions of dollars are leaking out of the government every year. And let me tell you about leaky pipes. If you have a leaky pipe, a leaky toilet, a leaky hot water heater, you may not be aware of it. Sometimes toilets leak and you don't even really realize it. And Greg Ryan from Ryan Plumbing and Heating told me the other day that You'd be surprised how fast a leaky item, leaky pipe, leaky toilet, leaky water heater can add up to really increasing your water bills. And, you know, I'll probably talk a little bit in this podcast about, municipalities and how much they're charging these days to do things. And I've mentioned a couple times that for most people listening, when you were kids, the water bill was never that big of an issue. And they were generally cheaper, but people are starting to see their water bills really go up. So water bills become really, really important, and water usage because of that becomes important. So have Ryan Plumbing and Heating come out and check to make sure that all of your, your pipes aren't leaking and your water heaters and your toilets aren't leaking. If you're noticing an increasing water bill, you might want to have Ryan Plumbing and Heating come out and check everything, because when it comes to keeping all of your systems operating and running right, especially these days, when it comes to water usage, you have to think about reliable service, and you have to think about quality work, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. In St. Paul, call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. We are telling people to go to ryanplumbing.com because that you can get in touch with them really fast that way, or you can call them for four generations in St. Paul. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. And again, don't forget, Ryan Plumbing can help you with water usage, especially if you have leaks someplace that you didn't know. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. You know, very quickly, I got to mention that I was just out in Hudson today to visit Ciro3D, C-I-R-O-3D.com. This is the great motorcycle products and accessories. Their stuff is badass. It's high quality. It looks great. And these are great accessories for your bike. If you're riding these days, and I'm starting to see bikes, of course, motorcycles all over town, people are out riding, and visual, being able to see them, especially in dusk and at night, is so important. You guys know that if you're riding. So let me explain very quickly. Ciro3D has great lighting options and solutions, whether it's the lighting options that allow you to see around the cowling, or the rear lights that really are bright enough that if you're taking your girlfriend, or if you're not married, your girlfriend, or if you're married, your wife, sometimes, your spouse wants to, or significant other really wants to make sure that, because they're on the back of the bike, they do not want to get hit. And Ciro has some amazing lighting options for that. Check them out online at Ciro3D.com, C-I-R-O-3D.com, or click on the banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com. Check out Ciro. If you ride, you're going to love this company. They make amazingly badass, cool parts and accessories for motorcycles. Check them out online, again, at Ciro3D.com. Since I have taken the view of, I'm not going to tell you that I'm nonpartisan, because I'm not. I have a very strong feeling that the biggest problem of our time, which is not getting solved, is that we have allowed the government complex to get too big. I did a whole podcast about it. The largest employer in most states is some, state or federal institution. And if I'm standing on my deck, I'm looking down the street and I'm seeing all these other houses, and I'm willing to bet that one or two out of three of all of these people that live in these houses have some kind of institutional job. They work for, a state hospital. They work for the VA. They work for the federal government. They work for the state government. They work for, public radio. They work for public television. They work for some, private public partnership, and on and on and on. I don't need to detail that, because I do that in that podcast, Has America Always Been Socialist? And I think the problem with all that is you're creating a very powerful state, and particularly a very powerful federal government. You're creating very powerful state governments. And the problem with all that, especially if you're a younger listener, if you're somebody that's 25 or 26 years old, you may not realize this, but the problem with all the goodies is when you take the good things, then it comes with strings attached, because when the good things happen, then you also get the surveillance, and you get the police state, and you get the crackdowns. And as long as they're cracking down on the people you don't like, you're okay with it. But unfortunately, I think what happens is that so much, this is to me, all of the government, this government stuff is the reason everything is so politicized. It's the reason that there are so many groups of people who seem so violent. It is the reason for so much discontent, and it's the reason for so much coverage, because the government is so big, it's so important. When I moved to Washington many, many years ago, the first thing that I was told, and one of the things that I learned, was in Washington, D.C., national news is local news. Almost all, you know, you turn on the radio and you would hear them talking about House Bill 333. You know, everything was government. Everything was the federal government in Washington, D.C., because that was the business of Washington, D.C. It's not quite that way anymore, because what's happened is that seems to be everybody's local news now is some damn thing that Congress has done. And it wasn't like that 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 100 years ago. Nobody gave a damn what the federal government did until it started getting into everything that happens in their lives. Now, some of those things, I suppose you could say, were good. You know, when the Dust Bowl happened because farmers didn't understand how to cultivate crops in what essentially was a desert, although they were there during a verdant period, you know, in Oklahoma, and they were prosperous for 25, 30 years, and then things went bad when things got dry. You know, Roosevelt set university agricultural people out there to teach these guys who were left that hadn't gone off on the big, diaspora to California, you know, the Okies. He sent, university extension programs and everything else out there to teach these guys how to rotate crops so that the topsoil didn't blow away. So, obviously, there are positive things that come from government and negative things. And I don't need to equalize in order to make this argument. Because really, what it comes down to is economics. You know, when people say, I'm getting this from the government, we're going to give people this, that, and the other thing, it's a question of economics. They can't give you anything without taxing you or bonding it, which ultimately is a tax, because they have to pay for this stuff in some way, shape, or form. And we have an enormous federal government and state government and county government complex in this country that just is seemingly out of control. I got a levy request from the local school board in my suburb here in Minneapolis and St. Paul for additional funds to improve schools. You know how much it is? It's $100 million for a suburb of Minneapolis. $100 million to do a few things at a couple of middle schools and the high school. And even that's negligible. I mean, is it going to improve education? I doubt it. But, you know, there you go. So you have all of this is going on. And what is it? They can't do anything without taxing or bonding, which is also a tax. So the larger this complex gets, the less there is to go around. You want to know why the economy is only growing at 0.7%? It's because there's too much government. It's just taking so much to pay for this stuff. We don't realize how expensive it is, you know? And notwithstanding, you know, clever ideas to take El Chapo's money to quote-unquote build the wall, how about taking El Chapo's money and sending us all a check? Forget that. Every single thing that happens is some kind of government solution. And then when you say to them, you need to solve this or fix this, they will tell you, oh, we're going to repeal that. That's going to go on the first day. Yes, I agree with you, Susan. You're absolutely right. We have to appeal Obamacare. And the Republicans get in there and they do exactly the same thing the Democrats do, just slightly different, to the extent that you now have these previous Republican cheerleaders like Rush Limbaugh, you know, demanding from the vice president, what's the difference between Republicans and Democrats? I'm watching Facebook today and I'm seeing all these people that, you know, are local quote unquote conservatives either decrying this or saying things like, why should we vote Republican if yada, yada, yada? What has changed? Nothing. They've been doing this for years where they don't fix a problem. They create a problem and then they fix it. And in the process of fixing it, they create a new problem. And the biggest problem is they keep expanding the size of government. There isn't a constituency in the government that says we have to permanently prevent the government from being able to do these things. These are things that have to be cut out and ended permanently, because the truth is that when it comes to entitlements, Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare, or now the American Health Care Act, as well as Medicare Part D, the drug schedule program, etc., those, which what they call non-discretionary spending because they're locked in, discretionary spending is what they budget, those things that are locked in are going to swamp the federal government. We have a $1 trillion a year budget. We have spent 25 years in increasing the size of the federal budget to provide for people services that the government really shouldn't be providing. And that's the takeaway for me from this. It's not going to change, because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen now. You're going to get a Democratic Party that is renewed. They're going to go out and promise minimum incomes. They're going to promise, leave time, more vacation for people. They're going to promise national health insurance. They're going to expand on these entitlements. They're going to provide new entitlements. And there are a lot of people that are going to say, sure, why not? Because I'm not paying for it. But you are paying for it. And you're paying for it in sluggish economic growth. You're paying for it in, more and more money being taken out of people's pockets to pay for things that the government supposedly provides that are poorly done, inefficient, because we have a government systems, not the system of checks and balances, not the Constitution, but we have a system, a bureaucracy that was really set up in the 1940s and 50s in this country. And we have a view of government that is from the 1940s and 50s in this country. So our government bureaucracy and our systems are 60, 70 years old. They're using computers still that basically are Fortran. They're using systems that are 30, 40, 50 years old. It takes these people, if you want to look for a place to eliminate and put in autonomous machines, the government would be a great candidate, because there's many people sitting around doing nothing. And the Democrat solution to this, and some Republican solutions to this, is to provide things like using, for example, they want to have a carbon tax. And this is the Republicans proposing this, because a carbon tax would provide an additional revenue to cover these things. So once again, it's an economic issue. It's about taxation. They have to tax you to pay for these things. And this is what they don't understand. Now, I'm just going to say one more thing, because I don't want to go on and on, because I said this would be a short podcast or shorter podcast. I'm not going on for a whole hour about this, and I've gone on too long already. The reason that when Republicans vote for Republicans and they do this is because the Republican Party in general does not adhere to the philosophy of less government. They adhere to the philosophy of more government. They adhere to the idea that if you vote Republican and you ask them to solve a problem, they will solve it and create a new problem and keep themselves employed. So what's going to happen is the more entitlements, the more provisions that government provides, the more arguments politically, the more important the government comes, the more protests, the more news coverage. It's not ever going to end until government power is severely truncated. And there is no political party that is doing that. So you have one party, which is strongly in favor of creating a formalized socialist system, basically, which is the government controlling the means of production, either owning companies outright, public-private partnerships, high taxations of wealthy people, and so forth, to pay for it all, as well as tariffs and extra taxes, VAT taxes, carbon taxes, so forth. Or you have a party which pretends to be conservative, but really is very much also focused on government solutions. What we need is to have people focused on literally reducing permanently the power of government to tax, to levy, to observe, to police, to do all these things. And if we don't do it, if we can't create a movement that does that, then we are going to get the good things, but we are also going to get the bad things. And unfortunately, Republicans have to stop saying, why vote Republican if this is what they're going to do? You should have been asking this question 15 years ago, because they've been doing this for a long time, particularly when it comes to Congress. Okay, having said that, Then what has to happen if you're asking that question? If you're upset because they passed a budget that doesn't do what you wanted them to do, you send them there, whether it's the state house or the federal government, they don't do what you want them to do, or you try to vote for a president and it turns out that the president flip-flops on NAFTA or flip-flops on these issues because of various, you know, centers of political support. Then what has to happen is people need to start working on political movements. And they have to, and I've said this and said this and said this, and this is the hard work. People have to get together and talk about philosophy and not rewrite the Constitution. And not, I don't want the guy with the UN book that have the plastic covered, you know, conspiracy theories about the UN. And that's not philosophy. People need to sit down and start studying not the US Constitution, but different styles of government and what different styles of government do and why. They need to study economics, myself included. We all need to sit down and start work, take these concepts apart and start working with these concepts and figure out some philosophy that can form the basis of a new political movement that actually will address these problems, because the Republicans will not do it and the Democrats will not do it. And if you think they will, you're just whistling Dixie. To turn a phrase. You know, I couldn't possibly hit all the philosophical things that come up with this. But just try to think about the cost of government. The money has to come from taxpayers. And there has to be an economy to fund that. And they aren't addressing the spending problems. You hear about deficits, but we're still not addressing the spending problems. And all these entitlements really are about spending, ultimately. And if they're going to fund those, that money has to come from somewhere. And if you're in business for yourself, then you know how much that stuff actually ends up costing. Thanks for listening to Podcast 627, the Bob Davis Podcast, sponsored by Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Remember, the water bill's going up, up, up. If they are, then maybe it's because you have leaky pipes or a leaky toilet or a leaky water heater. Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. For four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. And again, xgovernmentcars.com. My favorite, my long-term sponsor, Ed Johnson, is ready to make deals. He's got the inside track on low-mileage DHS Expeditions and Yukons. They still have Crown Vicks while they last, Chevy Impala V8s, Dodge Chargers, and more. xgovernmentcars.com.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Okay, again, thanks for listening, and thank you for listening right on the page, on the stream at thebobdavispodcast.com, also Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn. I really appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting on social media, Facebook and Twitter. My favorite one is Instagram, because there's no snarking. Don't even get me started about face crack. But I do appreciate the likes and the shares, and sometimes I appreciate comments, and then sometimes I don't. But thanks for all the stuff. Thanks for the likes and the shares and hitting the BobDavisPodcast.com page, and for your donations. Ed Nass for Mobile Podcast Command. I'm getting ready to buff it up. I'm going to wax it big time tomorrow, and I'm getting ready to head out very, very soon, and I'll tell you all about it soon. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 627. Happy spring.